Good morning, Metroplex. It is the rainy hump day edition.
Hey. Hump day!
Or the humid hump day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, trying to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph James Choppy. We got Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, and Peyton Phillip Russell is firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We got a Dallas Stars recap. We have a Jason Aldean ticket giveaway. It's a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman at 8:20 and Andre Whitworth to talk Cowboys and Super Bowl in the final hour of the show.
Andrew Whitworth.
What'd I say? Andre?
Andre.
My bad.
You were thinking Andre Wadsworth.
Yeah.
Yes. The big miss from Broadus.
I knew you. That's what you were going to reference. He loves referencing that in regard to who? That's Peyton?
That was the same draft, but it was, yeah, he had Wadsworth one. Can't do that.
The Dallas Cowboys are making hires, and Mike McCarthy is taking his hat out of the ring. Stephen, air quotes. Let's get to the hires first at 877-881-1053. The worst kept secret around. Matt Eberflus is the new defensive coordinator. Chop, you've been doing some homework.
That makes fine sense to me with Matt Eberflus.
Let me stop you right there.
All right.
Before you get into the pros and everything, I'm gonna have to be talked into feeling excited about it just because of the disastrous end in Chicago. It's hard for me to get that taste out of my mouth.
That to me is easy to overcome because he's not going to be the head coach. So, you know, I don't think the two even like remotely.
Shows judgment.
He's going to be the head coach of the defense.
Fine, cool. Like, you know what I mean? But like, he doesn't have to worry about clock management. That's the head coach's job.
Yep.
You had to worry about calling the time. That's the head, you know what I mean? To me, they're not even, you can't even compare the two. So when it comes to Eberflus, now there may be some personnel changes you're going to have to make.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that, from that standpoint, would be a transition.
What are the scheme/personnel changes?
It's very Rod Marinelli-like. So, I mean, you're going to talk about there's going to be a lot of cover two, there's going to be a lot of four-man rushes. The three-technique defensive tackle is almost a bigger part of the defense than the edge rushers.
Like, Mozzie!
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of defensive line rotation. It's going to be, it's not an exact replica of what Marinelli did. There are things that are Eberflus's own, but it's going to look remarkably similar to what that was. There's not going to be a lot of disguising pre-snap. It's going to be kind of what it was.
So, if you go back and look, you know, he was DC in Indy for 4 years. They ranked 9th, 17th, 9th, 13th in expected points added per play. It's not bad. You know, they were top
15.
Yeah, top 13 in for 3 of the 4 years, top 17 and 1. So that's good. You know, this year, 11 of the 15 teams that were in the top 15 on EPA on defense made the playoffs. Okay, so like they would have been good enough to make the playoffs in 3 of the 4 years that they were there in Indy with the defense. The three that weren't Tampa, Washington, the Rams, 17th, and the other two were in the 20th. The Cowboys can make the playoffs if they do it at that level, at the level that he did it as the DC in Indianapolis. Now, the difference, like Bobby was talking about, this year in Chicago, they played cover three 45% of the time.
And cover three, Bobby, is what?
Cover three is going to be it's the two outside safeties and the one at the top.
Only Tampa ran cover three at a higher percentage of their snaps. That's it. Only one team. Chicago played man defense in any form, just 17% of their snaps. Like in any form of man. No playoff team this year played a lower percentage of their snaps in man coverage. Not a single one. That was with Chicago this year. So, you know, there's some good things to take away, some bad things, or some personnel change that you're going to have to make. Because when he got here, it was Rob Ryan, and that was a 3-4. It was when he first came over here. Which Micah actually may be better suited for that anyway, if they wanted to go back to that. But when Parcells switched to a 3, I never saw more fans so pissed off that their beloved Cowboys were going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. The Tom Landry defense was no more. Hmm. And then Bill Parcells comes in here with this hoodoo voodoo stuff that's going to be one of these three down linemen. They didn't understand what that was. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is it's going to be a different defense than the one you ran last year with Zimmer. Like, I mean, this isn't just like we're carrying over a lot of the same things. This will be different. It'll be different than some of the stuff Dan Quinn did. And so,
so the thought of cover three, though, is for what? Just to keep everything in front of you? What is the premise?
So basically, the entire thought process behind what Matt Eberflus wants to do in general, his entire philosophy, is that he just kind of wants to, it's the Marinelli bend but don't break. Like, keep things in front of you, tackle well, you know, you're going to get home with four. There's not a lot of blitzing. So Mike Zimmer would use four a lot of times, but he would use sim pressures and creepers, which are basically, you know, you're bringing four, but one of the defensive linemen maybe drops back, and so then a linebacker. So you do different things that create blitzes even with four guys. No, with Eberflus, it's the four that you got there. It's defensive tackles, get upfield, try to get to the quarterback as quick as you can. Keep things in front of you, tackle well. You know, playing with some cushion. There's not a lot of press in what he does. And so, I mean, it's going to be very zone heavy. It's going to be very conservative for the most part. And it's going to lean on, hey, we need fundamentals. So you need to tackle well, you need to do your job, you need to, you know, be on top of your keys. That's going to be the big thing with this.
So he's being praised for his time in Indianapolis. He was the linebackers coach here. The immediate impact in Indy, they were ranked 30th in scoring. In 2018, he finished 10th, 11th in total defense. Passing defense improved from 28th to 16th. Over the next three seasons, they would finish number 16 in total defense twice, and they climbed up to 8th in total D in 2020. Routinely had them in the top half of the league in total defense. Of course, Chicago head coach 14-32 before being fired 12 games into this past season. Mike Zimmer had told Athlon Sports, "The truth is, I've always wanted to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys for 25 years. That's all I know. And right now, NFL teams are not exactly beating down my door." So that is a final parting word from Mike Zimmer. Matt Eberflus is your new defensive coordinator. Nick Sorensen is your new special teams coordinator. He had worked in a defensive capacity over the past few years. Back in 2021, when he was the Jacksonville special teams coordinator, they did finish 31st in special teams DVOA. So Sorensen and Eberflus have been added.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people leaning on the Jaguars special teams is awful that year. The Jaguars were awful that year. That was the Urban Meyer year. They had a lot of issues that, I'm not saying he's going to be a great special teams guy, but it was also first time he'd ever been a coordinator. A lot of other things going on in Jacksonville that were clearly a mess that, to me, I'm willing to say, all right, we'll give it a look. We'll see if it's any better. I don't know that I'm just going to hold him to that, but this is something where he's right now, I think what you're seeing is when people are like, well, is he going to be able to hire his own staff? Eberflus maybe doesn't come off that way totally. But I think you're seeing with some of these interviews and some of these guys that they're connected to right now, there's not an obvious, oh, we know that guy. There's either Schottenheimer knows him or nobody's got experience with him and he's just getting recommended. The Clayton Adams one from Arizona or some of these other ones like in Atlanta, those are not super familiar guys to them.
And I've been told, obviously interviewing a lot of OC candidates, they're not close on a decision yet. I just got that text at about 5 o'clock this morning.
Well,
yes. Yeah. So it's not big enough for me to tweet. You know, I'm like Jay Glazer. You know, I just come out for the big stories, but I just pass along this little radio airwaves.
Leave the crumbs. Here you go. Here you go, peasants.
You know, my other thing about Eberflus, and I get what you're saying about clock management, and I agree. I can't forget the Commanders game, and I can't forget him in the press conferences sounding so completely clueless and lost. And if there's anything I've learned about, you know, covering the Joneses here, I got to think about all the other decisions that you're messing up and screwing up if you show us publicly how you think about some things. If Jerry and Steven are going to sit up there the other day and do some of the things they did, what the hell else are they doing that we don't see? And Eberflus, he came across pretty clueless in these press conferences, even though there are a lot of people giving him his respect.
Yes.
His game management of not giving up the 10 or 15 yards before the Hail Mary, sticking to it with his stubbornness in the post-game presser, not admitting. It's more personality things with Eberflus. I don't know him whatsoever. I would like to find out more and more. But personality-wise, I was like, dude, you can't even sit up there afterwards and admit that you screwed up. That bothers me.
So Archer had tweeted yesterday, he said, Matt Eberflus' time as Chicago's head coach did not end well, but he was an excellent DC in Indianapolis, was a top-notch assistant with the Cowboys under Rob Ryan, and then Monty Kiffin, Rod Marinelli for 7 years. It's the fifth straight year the Cowboys have a former head coach as DC. I think that's it. His reputation here was sterling. People thought he was a fantastic coach. Like, I mean, there's a reason him becoming a head coach in Chicago didn't surprise the Cowboys. Like, they thought that's going to be a head coach one day. They thought he was really, really good. The bigger issue is when we're talking about
what type of personality,
kind of a hard ass. I haven't had a ton of personal interactions with him because he left in 17. That's early on when I had been here, but I know that was his reputation was as a hard ass. But
you were still blogging.
He's somebody that he was.
You can't make that insult today nowadays with the new media.
They are the media.
Heading into the White House
in the front row, asking questions about drones and stuff. No, when you look at
Biden's fault,
the thing with Eberflus to me is the stuff that ended in Chicago that was concerning was I'm not getting out of my mind so far the story of Jalen Johnson after that Detroit game. Yelling at him so intensely in the locker room that he had to leave. Like, he left the play. He's in the middle of ranting at them. They're all upset. And Eberflus had to leave the room.
Yeah.
That, to me, it's like, all right, well, that's... I hope you learned from that.
Yeah.
And we've got something better coming out of this, because that right there, that's concerning. Especially if the big focus here is culture, culture, culture. That's going to be the new focus.
877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up on DFW Sports Station with the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. We got the Dallas Stars in action. Let's see what they were up to on ESPN Plus.
We go back the other way. Johnston got it across. Empty net. Wyatt Johnston taps it off for Dallas. It's a hat trick goal in overtime. And the Stars, they get the come-from-behind victory.
The hat trick, the natural hat trick, and the game winner as they rally for the 4-3 win against the Golden Knights in Vegas. Side of the place that you and Bobby watched a game for 2 minutes.
Well, I watched a game. I watched a game. Bobby left after one period. His mic is up. I would assume the money puck would have had this in a high Vegas win. Oh, wow, no. Look at that. Unbelievable. Stars. Wow. Look at that. Yeah, this is the first time they had a win this year where they had trailed after two periods. So, you know, good on them. This is a good win. Vegas is a really, really good team. This is one of the teams they're going to compete for in the West to get to the Cup Finals.
The headline, though, is Miro had to be helped off the ice in the third period after his knee buckled when Mark Stone lunged into him. Stars fans were not happy on social media, likely to get the update tomorrow since they have a scheduled day off.
Spits and suds.
So all the best for Haskin and Stars fans, not happy. Spits and suds with the latest injury news wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, Roberto.
Do I get a real? Okay. I have a real comment. That Wyatt Johnston goal in overtime was nasty, though. That was nice. I liked that. I enjoyed that. That's all I had to say. 53%, by the way, for the Stars.
You see, you can't leave well enough alone. We're really going to test your discipline with the Mike McCarthy update that came out late last night. A new test for Bobby Belt on the morning show. Is it still McCarthy versus Kellen again? An update on that. And did the ratings go down once again for the NFL playoffs? The McCarthy update. Is it back to the barn for Big Mike? Next on Sean and RJ.